This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. For 25 years, Simon Leese was the sheriff of Hamilton County, but he retired last year and Jim Neal was elected to replace him. Neal's been on the job about a year now, and he joins us to talk about what's going on in the department. Along with Sheriff Neal is the head of the Justice Department, Major Charmaine McGuffey. Chief Deputy Mark Schooner was called away. He was to be here today, but he will not be able to be on the program today. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I should point out a lot of people are interested in talking about the situation of the homeless at the courthouse, and we are going to get to that subject, but it'll be a little later in the program. So we're going to start out with some other topics, just let all the listeners know that that'll be coming up in just a bit. But Sheriff Neal, I'd like to start first just asking you what this first just about a year has been like for you and how things are going so far.
Meetings. Going from one meeting to another. As you know, I'm elected, and as such, I want to make myself available, and day in and day out, my day's pretty much filled with meetings with different groups and different individuals, so I'm keeping my schedule full and keeping busy.
And how have things changed for you since you've been working with Sheriff Neal?
Well, I'm very busy as well. I am in charge of the jail. I also am in charge of the courthouse security. And I'm also in charge of electronic monitoring, the unit that maintains house arrest.
I do want to talk about all of that. First of all, Sheriff, I'm going to ask you about any surprises besides meetings that you have found since you've been in office. Has anything really surprised you since you've actually been able to see how the department runs from the sheriff's position?
As far as surprises, as you know, I worked in the sheriff's office for 30 years, so I'm familiar with the personnel. So I really wasn't caught off guard in that respect. But what surprises me about the position of sheriff is that for the first time in my career, Major, we're not sending suggestions up the chain of command. We are at the top of the chain of command.
Right.
You're talking to two commanders that were middle managers in our previous administration, and now we're in upper echelon.
Yes.
We're the upper managers, and we're actually the decision makers.
Yes. Well,
so that's new, and it's and if you haven't done it before, it is a surprising.
It is.
And it's enjoyable and it's fun.
Well, you talk about sending suggestions up the chain of command. What were some of those suggestions and what have you been able to implement now that you can take those suggestions and just make them happen?
Well, every day we're faced with challenges, but through the campaign, you know that I espouse that I want to do this, this, and this. And quite frankly, we're doing it. And one area we wanted to maintain, we knew that the budget impacted our personnel in the sense that there's fewer of us. But in order to provide that quality of services, we had to find a way to put more boots on the ground. So how we did that was we eliminated, through consolidation of divisions, we eliminated a number of upper manager positions and used those dollars, free dough dollars, up and reinvested in boots on the ground service providers. To hire the people that are out there day in and day out answering the calls for service.
How many deputies do you have on the ground?
The organization as a whole, both sworn and civilians, we're floating around 800. But that changes because we still have, through attrition, retirements happening.
Right.
I just talked to an individual last week that's getting ready to retire, and that still happens. And then we just hired 15.
We did. We're running a recruit class right now. We have 15 officers who are now training to be corrections personnel. There'll be uniformed corrections officers. They go through an 8-week academy. And in that academy, we run them through very rigorous physical training, as well as obviously academic training. They're certified by the state of Ohio to work as a corrections officer, and they'll be joining our other officers late November they'll graduate.
Now, what's different between a corrections officer and a deputy? These are folks that just work in the jail? No.
A corrections officer is a deputy.
That is the same thing, okay.
Yes, they are a deputy. Some of those corrections officers are certified as police officers. To be certified as a police officer, that's a different academy that you go through. It's much more lengthy. There's more curriculum, more training, et cetera. And that certifies you to carry a firearm, is what that does. And in that regard, you can still work in corrections. You carry your firearm outside. Obviously, if you're doing any duty that's outside the jail, because inside the jail, we do not carry any firearms, no weapons at all.
Really? And I think that might surprise people. Why is that?
Well, because one, we don't want to be disarmed from our weapon. We don't want to have the weapon used on us. And really, that's the main reason. You have to realize that our corrections officers are trained to go into a situation and literally take command of some 50 to 60 people at a time. And what they use are their interpersonal communication skills to do that. Nobody's going in there with a stick or a baton or mace or anything like that to control people. We are learning how to control large groups of individuals simply by using our good communication skills, our body language, good policy and procedure, and we do that every day, all day.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on at the jail. Overcrowding is a jail issue that we heard about forever under Sheriff Simon Lease and the need for a new jail.
Right.
You came in, Sheriff Neal, and said, no, a new jail's not necessarily needed.
No, because you're always going to need jail space, but we want to reserve that jail space for are violent and dangerous offenders, because we feel that there's enough diversion and diversion programs out there for your misdemeanor offenders and lower level felony offenders to save room for those who need to be locked up. So we're talking electronic monitoring, and we're talking community service and a host of other diversion programs that are out there and available. And we're currently looking at a program that the chief deputy has nicknamed inmate daycare.
Okay, what is that?
It's basically a detention situation. One of the judges actually gave us this idea, and he approached the sheriff with the idea that, you know, there are individuals who I want to incarcerate them for a short period of time. They're individuals who typically have traffic violations and things like that. But he knows that we don't have room to do that. And they're low enough level that they don't qualify sometimes for the other agency programs. His idea, and it's one that the sheriff likes, is we have space in the old jail at the old courthouse, and it's basically a very large room. We were going to put chairs, desks in that room. And the judge was going to sentence those people to come and sit in those desks, much like you would detention, for 8 hours a day. Our deputy will be there in the room supervising them, and they can bring a book to read if they want, but that's pretty much it. They're going to be there for 8 hours sitting there while they do their
smartphones, no
detention. No phones, no TVs, no things like that.
Just
you can sit, you can read, but you have to comport yourself in an orderly way, and that's your sentence.
Now, has that started yet? Is that going to start, or how likely is that to be happening?
Right now, we're preparing the facility. Obviously, we have to meet certain requirements. We have to have the regulation light, space, that sort of thing. We have to fund the deputy who is going to sit and supervise. That's the other piece. So it's in the works. It will come about, but could I give you an exact time frame? No, I couldn't, but it's something that we think is a good idea, and we're certainly going to use it.
I know over the past 25 years with Sheriff Lease, they had a lot of work detail where the prisoners went out and did work in the community. Is that still going on? Is that something that these folks would do, or you just want to really have a place where they're just forced to sit?
There are people that do the community work detail, and we have a number of them as well. We have a whole host of offenders that we can detail to certain particular activities. The key is how many people we have to supervise those people, because we can't send a deputy out with too many prisoners, too many community service workers, or they can't supervise them adequately. But we do have right now six deputies that are out there with crews, somewhere between 12 guys and six guys, depending on what they're doing. But they're out there. They're cutting grass. They're picking up trash. They're working with Keep Cincinnati Beautiful. And those guys work really hard. Occasionally, I get in the car and go out, drive around, and check them out. And they're out there really working.
Are these generally the nonviolent offenders?
They certainly are, yes.
Major, explain Keep Cincinnati Beautiful and the new program that we're looking to start in the near future with eliminating graffiti.
Absolutely. We're working in conjunction with Keep Cincinnati Beautiful. We're looking for grants, and in fact, we've secured already a couple of grants to help fund an initiative where we hire a deputy to take community service workers out in the wee hours of the morning, we're talking 3 a.m. and on, to actually clean off graffiti, paint it over, find it as it's actually just being freshly painted. And that's key, because people that do graffiti, and those people are engaging in criminal activity. They're costing the city millions of dollars and the county millions of dollars. Our objective is to go out and clean it off, because the people that do that, they want to post that. What they do is they come back the next day, the next morning when it's light, they take pictures of it, and they post it online, and they get their accolades from their friends, and so on and so forth. One of the things that our initiative is designed to accomplish is to clean that off before they can brag about it. The second thing is we actually have cameras and things that we can set up to actually do surveillance. A piece of that initiative is once we catch those people, and we are going to put in place some enforcement measures that give us more of an opportunity to catch these guys. Once we do, what we would like to do is ask the judges to put them on electronic monitoring. Because on electron, they're low enough level that we can't really keep them in the jail. We don't have enough room for them. On electronic monitoring, we can track their whereabouts. We can make them jump through every hoop. And they have to report to us. We can keep track of all their activities. What's happening right now is some of these offenders are going out, they're getting caught, and they're being sentenced to community work detail. Well, while they're on the work detail, they're out there working, and then at night when they go home, they go out and do more graffiti. And some of them come down and literally brag about it. So, you know, we want to put all those pieces into play and make it all fit very nicely together so that we identify this as organized criminal activity, which is what it is.
What about, you talk about the electronic monitoring program. How is that going? I know you'd like to even expand it, is that right?
We're in the process right now of expanding it. The sheriff actually purchased 50 more units, and we're in the process. I just submitted to the county administrator a proposal to purchase 100 more units, and that also, of course, includes the deputies who have to supervise those units, the vehicles, and so forth that go with that.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100, or you can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Robert's calling in from Walnut Hills. Hi, Robert. Robert? Hello, Robert.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Just fine. We thought you went away there. What's your question?
Good show today.
Thank you.
Actually, I just wanted to throw something out there. First of all, I want to say congratulations, Sheriff Neal, for your nomination, and Commander McGuffey for what you guys are doing here in Hamilton County.
Thank you.
I have personally sat down and have actually politicked with some of the judges that strongly support treatment centers, and I understand that Hamilton County residents have an option to go to a few maybe two or three different Talbert House or type of ADAP programs. I was just wanting to see, are you actually going for more of a treatment method for the low low-level offenders, as far if they're not out there selling drugs, but they do have addiction problems and they're willing to get the help they need to get back to society and their families.
Now, is that let me ask, is that something that you guys decide or the judges decide?
Well, it's a combination of both. One of the things that we do is we're trying to manage that jail population. So when a magistrate, when a judge sees someone, they're certainly taking into account whether that person is addicted in any way. One of the key factors that we struggle with is whether someone is actively addicted. When you're actively addicted, that means detox. And detox means we hold on to you until you are no longer relying on that drug every day. That is where we come into the problems of incarceration. We don't have room for detox. And that's really the wave of the future. If you're going to build a new jail, if you're going to put money into any kind of facility, you absolutely have to incorporate detox. We can't even get you. No agency will take you. Not Talbert House, not any of the other agencies, any programs, until you are off that drug. And that means spending time incarcerated in our facility.
Sheriff, did you want to add anything?
What I was going to add is it's one of our goals with the Mount Airy project. If we acquire that property out there, the employees that I transfer out to that facility will open up space in the jail that we can convert into housing, including possibly some detox units without adding brick or mortar to the Justice Center, just by repurposing an area that was an employee work area, and now it's housing. And I want to say thank you to Robert for his comments.
Robert, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Go now to a question that we got on Twitter. This is from Adam, who says, Sheriff, how do you plan to tackle the spike in heroin usage and the corresponding gang violence in the region?
How are we going to, well, what the sheriff is doing is working with the other agencies on tackling this problem, because I found out in my short time of being sheriff, but I knew it all along as a police officer, we do our best work when we're working together. And what I mean by that, it's the sheriff's office working with other law enforcement agencies and other people in the private sector, working together for the benefit of all of us, and it does work. And any problem of that nature, that magnitude, is going to take a cooperation to defeat. You're never going to actually ever get rid of the drug problem, because it's supply and demand driven. We're just trying to put a big dent in the supply. We have no control. Law enforcement has no control over the demand, but we can have an impact on the supply. That's what we go after.
There seems, especially in Northern Kentucky, to be such an increase in heroin usage and arrests. Are you finding the same thing in Hamilton County? Heroin is really the big problem right now?
It's the drug of choice. And I'll tell you something else about heroin that we noticed in the jails, is that we have a constant population in our jail that is test positive for diseases that are passed on, like hepatitis C, and even communicable diseases, stuff that went away for a long time. Now they're reappearing. Syphilis and gonorrhea, and they're getting it through the sharing of these dirty needles. And we notice a spike in that in our medical.
Absolutely, right. And we do, and we deal with that in the jail. In the jail, for detox particularly, a heroin user can detox on their own. And by that I mean we can put them in a cell, kind of plug them into the jail population. Someone who is an alcoholic, who has severely limited capabilities in regards to stopping alcohol use, those people are very medically dangerous. We have to have a 24-hour surveillance on them. They could die at any time when they're coming off of that alcohol drug. I'll tell you that if you've ever watched anybody detox off of heroin, it is incredibly painful. It's something that these people, they really wish they would they would actually rather die than come off of heroin, some of them. It's that difficult.
We're talking this afternoon with Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal and some of his staff. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking today with Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal and head of the Justice Department, Major Charmaine McGuffey. You can join the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. You wanted to bring up a project you said that you're working on now called the Mercy Mount Airy Project. Sheriff, do you want to tell us what that is?
Oh, most definitely. The Mercy Mount Airy Project, as you know, today was the grand opening of the ribbon-cutting opening of the new hospital over there in on North Bend Road in Greene Township. Well, the staff was transferred there from the old Mercy Mount Airy Hospital, which used to be the Providence Hospital in Mount Airy. And part of that property is also in Coleraine Township. It's across the street from Springfield Township, next to North College Hill, Mount Healthy, and Greene Township. So the awesome idea in this project is bringing county offices and city enforcement together under the same roof, independent but together, working together. The entire coroner's office would be in that facility, the morgue and the crime lab. All of the Cincinnati police investigators, all the sheriff's investigators, all of our criminalists working together and working with the coroner. A community property room in this facility, as well as the fusion center. Intelligence gathering for both domestic and international terrorism and as well as crime intelligence gathering for those matters, but partnering up not only with local but regional partners working there, and there'll be federal partners working in. So this is truly a crime lab on steroids, for no better term, but it's working under the same roof, networking, working together to solve problems. It's huge.
We go now to John in Covington, who has a question. Again, our number, if you have a question, 513-419-7100. Hi, John.
Hi, good afternoon to you.
Hi, what's your question?
Marianne, well, thank you for another good show. Marianne, I am a landlord, so I've seen a bit of the heroin epidemic affecting my tenants, basically. And I guess, you know, I try to frame this in a bigger picture perspective, maybe from the 20,000-foot range. And I'm wondering if your guest, thinking of the growth of the heroin epidemic, yeah, maybe it's replacing another drug of previous choice. But I don't want to be political, and I'm not making a political here, but can you kind of trace back the prevalence of the heroin and it becoming an epidemic with the availability of overseas shipments from even where it seems like other tax dollars might be supporting the people that grow it, you know, in a faraway land? And I don't know if they, if they've ever sat down and talked about this in a strategic way of where's this coming from, why is it happening, and do we have anything to add to the conversation about why it's happening?
We do have operatives and organized crime tracking beyond Cincinnati where the product's coming from. That's what I meant by we're working on attacking the supply. But the politics of foreign affairs, that's above my pay grade and over my head. That's because I'm a cop. But Major, is there anything you would like to add?
I would just like to add that one of the reasons I think that we're seeing such an uptick, and everybody is, I will tell you that. If you go to any jail in the region, they're going to tell you they're seeing more and more heroin users, heroin abusers, and it's an availability of the drug. It's cheap. It's easy to get, and people are using it because prescription drugs, quite frankly, are starting to be targeted regarding how much they're being given out by physicians. People are starting to track that now, and they're changing some of those drugs in that pill form so that addicts aren't getting the same high. So they search for that high. A lot of them will tell you that they started out on prescription drugs. They went to heroin because it's cheaper and more available.
John, thanks so much for your call. We have talked earlier that we were going to get to the talk about the homeless situation, and we're going to do that now. I was holding off a little bit to talk about some other things, but there is a great deal of interest in what's been happening on the stairs of the courthouse. You've had an issue with a lot of homeless folks making the stairs their sleeping headquarters, and you have been trying to clean that up. Why don't you tell us what the status is, what's been going on for the past month?
I'll let the major introduce you to the phasing operation that we're going through, and then I'll add any
as we go along. The first thing I'd like to say is the sheriff and I sat down and talked about this issue and discussed it. What we did is we worked out three phases. So phase one is a phase where we gather intelligence. What I did is I reached out to the Homeless Coalition. I reached out to mental health agencies, to Talbert House. I reached out to anyone who had an interest or brought something to the table that could help us with this issue. We called it our Homeless Initiative Committee, and we had probably on our first go-around some 20 people report for the meeting, and we had very productive activity. In fact, since we've had those meetings, and we've had them once a week, we defined phase one as 4 weeks of soft enforcement. That 4 weeks of soft enforcement was guided by the Homeless Initiative Committee. So what suggestions they brought to the table, some of them offered personnel, which we took their offer of personnel, and we incorporated that with our deputies. Our deputies come around at 7 p.m., and they are escorted by mental health agency personnel, by people who are designated neighborhood liaisons, and we engage these people around the courthouse. We don't arrest them. We simply engage them, ask them why they're there, how we can help them. In doing this for the last 4 weeks, what we found out is that we have been able to help a number of them. I had one mental health worker tell me that she approached 8 people, and she said 6 of those people actually reported for appointments to her the next day. And that's a very good success rate. We've had neighborhood liaison, one of our neighborhood liaison officers tell me that he has 5 people now that he is finding homes for, that he's actively working with to find home placement for those people. And it looks very promising. And they're working with him to get to that point. That was phase one of our initiative. Phase two of the initiative is what we call hard enforcement. And that is us saying, you know what, there has to be a timeliness to it. There has to be an action. There has to be some immediacy for people to actually move from those courthouse steps, to move from sleeping on the courthouse steps, urinating, and defecating around the courthouse. And that is done routinely. That's one of the effects of people who sleep around the courthouse at night. When we come back in the morning, we are faced with the issue of cleaning it up. And we have to clean it up in a very short period of time before the public starts coming in to the courthouse for regular business. So phase two is hard enforcement. We've posted signs which say no trespassing, and we put the hours of no trespassing. And the hours are 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. Phase three, after the hard enforcement, we are in phase three, which is to actually repair the courthouse. Believe it or not, over the years of people sleeping there and using it as their bathroom, it actually has degraded the building materials. It's actually degraded the caulking and some of the mortar and the building materials of our courthouse. So we then have to, and we're going to be spending a significant amount of money to clean that up.
How many people are we talking about? When you started out, before you began anything, how many people were sleeping there? And then once you've had people get some treatment, how many are there now? What's the difference?
The officers gave me an overnight count. And remember, my officers are going out. The sheriff's officers are going out hourly to make their security rounds. And they counted some 60 people in total. And that's 60 people
initially.
initially, mm-hmm. yes, ma'am, who were sleeping around the Justice Center, around the county courthouse building, and then there is a garage, a five-tiered garage that's actually right behind the Jobs and Family Service building. People were sleeping there. And we had a count of some 60 people. The last count I got from my officers was 12.
So there's been a decrease.
There's been a tremendous decrease. I understand from our homeless initiative meetings that the drop-in center, which, by the way, when we worked on that homeless initiative with everyone, everybody came to the table and made some compromise. The drop-in center compromised and said, you know what, we'll lengthen our hours that people can actually come and be accepted. We will take those people back again who have burned bridges. We'll reevaluate them. We will relax some of the procedures and rules to get these people in. So that happened, and at the last meeting, in fact, it was reported that the shelter is actually nearing capacity. I mean, we have quite a few people that have gone there.
And what we're doing is, you got to understand, the courthouse, just like the public library, is closed to business. And what we're trying to encourage is for the population of homeless that are left is to move them over to the Justice Center, because that county building is in operation 24 hours a day. We're never closed at the Justice Center. So what we're doing is opening up the lobby so that they have access to our heated restrooms.
So they'll be able to just stay there without being arrested, or they'll be arrested?
At the Justice Center, it's open. It's a public building that's open 24 hours. So you can be more tolerant for people hanging out, sitting in the lobby, warming up, using the public restroom in there. But the courthouse, at a certain time, the people that work there are gone home. The people that had appointments there, they have gone home. It's a closed building. And there's no reason to loiter on that property because it's not being utilized as a public facility at that time. Just like the public library, when it's open, it encourages you, it invites you indoors, onto the campus, but when it closes, just like some of the other county buildings, you know, there's no reason to be on the property because it's closed.
And I'd like to add to that what the sheriff is actually saying is that we do welcome those people, but we don't welcome them to sleep inside. We're not opening up the Justice Center for people to come in and actually camp out for the night. We don't want them, again, camping out on our campus of the Justice Center. We do invite them to come in. In fact, we have, and we have hired, and we are getting ready to put on a full-time staff member who will be staffed in that lobby to engage homeless people who want to come in and try to find services. We're not inviting them to spend the night. We're inviting them to come in, use our restrooms if necessary, spend some time in our lobby. But they can't pull out their bedding and all of the things they carry around with them. We're simply saying, if you need a place to come and go and be engaged with someone that may be able to help you, may be able to find a place for you to go for the night, then you can come to the Justice Center.
We're going to talk more about that. We have a number of phone calls, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. We're talking today, continuing our discussion with Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal and one of his staff members. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us, talk@wvxu.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We continue our discussion with Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal and head of the Justice Department, Major Charmaine McGuffey. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We've been talking a lot about the situation of the homeless sleeping on the steps of the courthouse and other county buildings in that area. And joining us on the phone now is the executive director of the Greater Cincinnati Homeless Coalition, Josh Spring. Hi, Josh.
Hi, how are you, Marianne?
Good. So you had some questions, comments you'd like to make?
Yeah, sure. So, hello to Sheriff and Major.
Hi, Josh.
Hi. So, I just want to point out a little bit of context and then ask a question. The context being, I think we all know, hopefully understand, that nobody in our society woke up one day and said, we want to sleep at the courthouse or justice center because it's so great. In fact, we have seen a major loss of affordable housing, loss of mental health services, loss of health care services, and people end up in these situations, and people choose places like the Justice Center and courthouse because it's safer, it's well-lit, it's public space. And so the question is, after about 30 years of a variety of people sleeping there, when we're in the middle of collaboration, when we're seeing numbers of people decreasing because of success and new options put in front of them, when we have an outreach worker starting next week, and when we're, why now would there be a push to remove people and arrest people that have nowhere else to go, that we know will end up in less safe situations in front of businesses, in alleyways, under bridges?
Let's let them answer.
Likely to come in. Go ahead. Yep.
Josh, what we're going to do is move them from the buildings that are not occupied, that are not truly well lit, over to the Justice Center, where there truly is deputy sheriff staffed inside and a true police presence. And it would help with our brothers and sisters on this initiative in their interview process, because we're encouraging a population of people towards the Justice Center, which is a county building and the county campus that's open around the clock. And I think it'll make the neighborhood liaison's officer's job a lot easier if the personnel that are truly homeless are in an area easily accessible to them as well. Major?
As well, yes, I would like to add that one of the things that I articulated many times at the Homeless Initiative meetings is that we're not nearing the end of this situation. In fact, this is a very fluid situation, and we're still at the table, and we're going to stay at the table. We're going to continue to have meetings. We're going to continue to engage agencies. We're going to monitor that progress that we have made, and we're going to continue to ask for housing. We're going to continue to try and find solutions for homeless people. I think at one point in time, we do have to engage some type of immediacy. If people don't have an immediacy, there's no reason for them to move on. There's no reason for them to seek housing and a better situation when they think or they know that we're going to continue to have soft enforcement and we're going to allow them to stay where they are. I think that we start to, after a while, move into a situation where we're actually enabling their homelessness by not moving them forward, by not pushing an objective.
And as you also know, Marianne, we talked in the break that the sheriff's office, we have some funding that's generated through asset forfeiture. And some of them dollars are earmarked for drug abuse resistance education. And since, just like Josh and the Homeless Coalition, we're also, the sheriff's office is also a partner. And what else I'm bringing to the table is funding to help place a group that is homeless because of an addiction to either drugs or alcohol and or drugs of abuse. And for the placement, we've already had a shelter come forward, but they need to get out there and advertise. It's a shelter that was designed for vets, homeless vets, but they're going to be open to any homeless, and also provide the programs as well. Not just a bed, but also programs. So we're also looking to help, you know, through our contacts to place a lot of the personnel. And I will be able to provide some funding to help make that happen.
Josh, your thoughts?
So thank you. So just to break this down a little bit, what we're hearing is the Justice Center will be open. So folks sleeping in front of the courthouse and sleeping in front of the Justice Center will be threatened with arrest if they don't leave. And once threatened with arrest and possibly leaving and possibly being arrested, folks will then go into the alleyways, under bridges, abandoned buildings, in front of stores, and then will come back to the Justice Center where they can't lay down and will engage somebody for help from the very entity that pushed them out and arrested their friends. That won't work at all. In fact, the immediacy that we will see is that if people will immediately either fight back and get arrested or will run and hide and will not engage and will more likely spend this winter outside at risk. The fact is people do not choose homelessness.
I understand. Certainly, I think you made your point that people don't choose homelessness. What is it that you think these the sheriff should do? What would your suggestion be at this point?
Help me understand, Josh.
Yep, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, help me understand.
Well, sure. So 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago at this point, the service providers around the table, shelters, outreach workers, et cetera, put together a proposal for the sheriff. And the proposal, the main gist of it was, every winter we work on opening a winter shelter so that people can get inside, they don't freeze, they get engaged with services. The winter shelter will open in about a month and a half. And so we said to the sheriff, as he explained a bit ago, you have funding, and so you could assist in having the shelter open and open sooner. And then your outreach worker has somewhere to send people. And don't move anybody for a month and a half or until it opens. That's all we've asked for, literally. And the shelter that Sheriff Neal is referring to, we have known Bishop Stephen Scott in that situation for a long time, and he stands with us on this situation, that he believes that people will be far less likely to engage if they're pushed out, far less likely to go to his shelter that the sheriff spoke about.
So what's the difference of 6 weeks? Is that what you're saying? No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking them. What's the difference of six weeks?
Well, what I'd like to also articulate regarding who is at our courthouse, who is left there sleeping since we started this initiative 4 weeks ago and engaged people and found services and so forth. What my deputies are finding are these are some of the same people. They don't want to be engaged. And that's a concept that we do need to realize and recognize, is that there are some people that do not want to go inside. It means that they would have to stop their addictive behavior. It means that they would lose certain freedoms because they have to follow certain rules. And the people that are left around that courthouse, I tell you, from the last 4 weeks that we have been engaging them, are people that we have talked to numerous times, that we have tried to engage, that we've tried to get help for, and we're going to continue to find those people, and that's what I say. Our deputies are not on foot. They're in a vehicle, and, you know, we can work with Cincinnati PD. In fact, Cincinnati PD is a part of this initiative, Cincinnati Police. They've come to the table. They're going to collaborate with us. They're going to help find these people and engage them as well. This is a fluid situation. It's not a start and stop. It's something that is ongoing. We're going to stay at the table. I guarantee you that. And we are going to continue to engage people where we find them. We'll go and find them. The sheriff has even offered something that's incredibly unusual for a law enforcement agency, and that is if we find a homeless person who says, hey, I need a ride to the drop-in center, we will actually give them a ride. We will actually take them somewhere in a vicinity that we can actually do that function, and we will give them a ride. I don't know of any other law enforcement agency that's offered to take a person who needs help and literally take them to that help.
Josh, what do you do with people that don't want help, that don't want to be don't want to go in a shelter? And I've certainly heard from a number of homeless folks who say they don't feel safe there, or as the major mentioned, they don't want to give up their addiction.
Well, so there's two parts to that answer. One part is I do not believe there are people that simply don't want help. I believe the majority of people will tell you, yes, they do. And the people that say no, it is because they are in a haze of addiction and they have not been given the needed resources to clear that haze. And when people, I have seen people in that situation that I was confident a police officer would call me to identify their body under a bridge, get into services, and totally different people, totally ready to engage the system, totally ready to work. And life change is possible in that fashion. The second part is folks that are in that situation, all we have seen repeatedly, people that say, I won't go to this shelter or that shelter because of A, B, C, and D, do come to the winter shelter. We know that after years of operating it, that people do come. And now that we have engaged, newly engaged these folks, that is a place where they will go. And there will be resources for them. After, we're talking about a month and a half.
The sheriff wants to respond here. Sheriff?
Josh, I just want you to know that the major and I, we will work with you on getting the winter shelter open as soon as possible. We will work with you on that. But in the meantime, just I want to reiterate that we're trying to move this population to a county building in the campus that is staffed around the clock, where they can feel safe knowing that there's law enforcement on premise working. There's law enforcement that's going to check on them and do patrols. And there's community health partners such as yourself and the neighborhood liaisons that are going to be there interviewing them and finding adequate placement for their situation, whether it's mental health, whether it's addiction, or it's or they're homeless because of a financial situation, or a combination of all of the above.
One of the things I'd like to add is in that I want to let the public weigh in on, and that is this is a public health issue. It's a public health issue. Why we're moving them, it's not because we don't like homeless people. My goodness, no. We have compassion for homeless people. Certainly the sheriff does. I do. But these people, whoever it is, they're using our courthouse literally as a bathroom. I walked over there today. Just today, I toured around the courthouse, and you can literally see where someone has urinated around the building. I mean, it's visible. We couldn't get it all up before the public came to actually come to the courthouse for day-to-day business. And that's really the driving force here is it's a public health issue.
Josh, thank you so much for your call, and hopefully the three of you can all get together at some point.
We will.
Oh, we will.
Marianne?
Quickly, yes.
Yes, so I want to add what we're hearing is that people will be told they can stay awake all night at the Justice Center. And so that the public knows, the Justice Center restroom that was open for years was closed several years ago and just reopened. So where do people go to the bathroom where they have nowhere else to go? The bigger public health issue is people ending up under bridges and unsafe places. That is the public health issue.
Are you glad that the Justice, is it good that they've reopened this? I mean, are people using this facility now that the bathroom is reopened?
You know what? Just the other night, I went out and talked to folks sleeping at the courthouse, and I said, you know the bathroom's open. And they said, yeah, it's been a lot cleaner around here since then. That's people sleeping right there.
Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Time for one more quick call. This is Bob from Oakley. Bob, if you can ask your question in about 10 seconds.
Sure. I was just wondering if you're continuing what your predecessor is doing with some of that quasi-military stuff like the helicopters and the morning drills on Fountain Square.
10 seconds to
10
answer.
10 seconds. The helicopter is going to be repurposed. It's Homeland Security. I need it up there with a true mission, and that is to inspect the bridges, the dams, the sensitive industry, the rail, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
We're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We've been talking today with the Hamilton County Sheriff, Jim Neal, and head of the Justice Department, Major Charmaine McGuffey. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.